קוראים בספר פסח, מאמר.
We're reading in the Pesach book. We're reading the Rabash article, What is for you are the least of all the people in the work. What is for you are the least of all the people in the work? It's written, it is not because you are more in number than any of the people that the Lord desires you. For you are the least of all the people, because the Lord loves you, and because he keeps the oath that he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Our sages said, it is not because you are more in number, said the Creator to Israel, that I desire you. For even when I bestow upon you greatness, you diminish yourselves before me. We should understand what this comes to teach us, that our sages said, that the Creator said to Israel, I desire you. For even when I bestow upon you greatness, you diminish yourselves before me. If the Creator said, although I bestow upon you greatness, you diminish yourselves before flesh and blood, I would understand this. But our sages said, you diminish yourselves before me, meaning before the Creator. What degree is it that if the Creator gives a person greatness, he does not pride himself before the Creator, because the Creator gave him greatness? If the king gives greatness to a person and extols him before the ministers, does the person pride himself before the king as well? Can this be? If so, why is the importance that they do not pride themselves before the Creator, but diminish themselves before him? In other words, before whom do they diminish themselves? It stands to reason that when a person understands the greatness of the king, he lowers himself even more before the king. In order to understand this, we must remember the order of the work, which is the correction of creation. That is, in order to achieve the vikut, called the equivalence of form, meaning in order to be rewarded with vessels of bestowal, a correction took place, which is called tzimtzum and concealment on the Kedusha. That is, the taste of the Lan Mitzvot, where the delight and pleasure that he wished to give the created beings became concealed. This is called his desire to do good to his creations, where everything he wanted to give to the creatures is clothed in Torah and Mitzvot, which the Zohar calls 613 pkudin, or deposits. It is as it is said in the Sulam commentary, that pkudin comes from the word pikadon, a deposit. For in each mitzvah, there is a special light clothed in that mitzvah. But because of the tzimtzum and concealment over them, because of the correction of creation, in order to reach the light that is clothed in them, and for a person to receive the delight and pleasure clothed in them, he must first acquire the suitable kelim for the light, since there must be equivalence of form with the light. As the light gives, so the kli should work in order to bestow. However, by nature, man has a desire to receive for himself and not a desire to bestow. Thus, how can a person change his nature, which the Creator created? Our sages said about this, the Creator said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. In other words, the Torah advises a person how to emerge from self-love and acquire the desire to bestow. The Zohar says that in that stage, the 613 mitzvot are called 613 etin, or meaning 613 counsels by which to acquire the desire to bestow. For only in the desire to bestow can the light, which is called good and does good, clothe. Our sages said about this, one should always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even in Lolishma, since from Lolishma he will come to Lishma. because the light in it reforms him. By this, he will achieve the degree of Lishma. And concerning Lo Lishma, there are many discernments. First, learning in order to provoke. This manner is the worst of all. Our sages said about this, anyone who engages in Torah Lo Lishma would be better off not being born. Secondly, meaning learning to in order to be called a rabbi. In those two discernments, he wants reward from people and does not want the Creator to reward him for his work. Three, learning in order for the Creator to reward him in this world, to have life, provision, health, etc. Four, learning so the Creator will reward him in the next world. Five, he engages in Torah and mitzvot because he feels that he is serving a great king. Therefore, he derives pleasure from engaging in Torah and mitzvot. That is, because of this joy that he feels that he is serving a great king, it is worthwhile for him to work. It follows that one who works because he is serving a great king also cannot be regarded as pure lishma. Although he is working for the sake of the Creator, meaning that he does not want any reward for his work, yet he does yearn to feel a good taste in the work because he is feeling a great king. So we must know that this is still not considered pure lishma, since in the end he yearns for the pleasure he will feel during the work. The pleasure he feels during the work is the reason he wants to be a servant of the Creator. It follows that the pleasure that the desire feels during the work is the only thing that makes him engage in Torah and mitzvot. Hence, this is too called Lo Lishma. However, this Lo Lishma brings him to Lishma, since the light in it reforms him. This is as it is written in the introduction to the book of Zohar. The second division is from 13 years and on. At that point, the point in the heart in him is given strength, which is the achoraim of the Nefesh of Kedusha, dressed in his will to receive, and it gives strength. At that point, one begins to enter the system of the worlds of Kedusha to the extent that one observes Torah and mitzvot. The primary aim is to obtain and intensify the spiritual will to receive. Yet it is much more important degree than the first. This is the degree that brings one to Lishma. As our sages said, one should always engage in Torah and mitzvot in Lo Lishma, as from Lo Lishma one comes to Lishma. This is considered the maidservant of Kedusha who serves her mistress, which is the Holy Shechina. The maidservant brings one to Lishma, and he is rewarded with the instilling of the Shechina. Yet one should take every measure suited to bring one to Lishma. And the final degree in this division is to become infatuated with the Creator, just as one becomes infatuated in corporeal love. Until the object of the infatuation remains before one's eyes all day and all night, and the poet said, "When I remember him, it does not let me sleep." After all this begins the order of Lishma, called the desire to bestow.
Is it clear thus far? Any questions to ask? Do you understand everything? Silence. No. Yes?
All these five aspects bring from not Lishma to Lishma, or just the fifth one?
Only the last one. If a person is in it, it brings him to Lishma. All the rest, it's possible that he goes through them and reaches the fifth, and it may be that he remains in them. It depends on the root of the soul. and what his role is in his current incarnation. Of course, the paths aren't closed before the person, but there are people with higher souls, and intermediate souls, and lesser than that. Meaning it depends on the place in Adam HaRishon in which his soul was. But there is an inverted value of inverted relation between lights and vessels. If the soul was high in the system of Adam HaRishon, then in the shattering it falls deeper, and then its correction is harder. Yes.
What exactly is lo lishma in the fifth one? Meaning, if he's working from the greatness of the Creator,
the question is: to what extent does he long to be, in order to bestow, to be detached from his self? That's it. All these clauses are simply degrees. Which relate to the extent to which he's more and more and more disconnected from his self. If he still has some pleasure, which binds him to his doing, then it's not called lishma.
So in the last item, the greatness of the greatness, what's your pleasure?
The pleasure is where he wants to receive help and power and flavor from the Creator, pleasures and everything, but only in order to achieve adhesion with him. Only in order to achieve adhesion with him. That's, he writes here. One, when he engages in Torah and commandments, because he feels that he serves a great king, and therefore he has pleasure when he engages in Torah and commandments, meaning because of this joy which he feels by serving the great king, because of this pleasure, it's worthwhile for him to work. It follows that even one who works because he serves a great king, this cannot be termed lishma in its pure form. Because even though he is working for the sake of the heavens, meaning that he doesn't want any compensation for his work, in any case, he yearns to feel taste in this work because he feels that it's a great king. So it may be that he cannot work without feeling some flavor, because he is not in lishma yet, but he needs this fuel only in order to achieve complete disconnection from any regard of self.
So you have no fuel in lishma?
You have fuel, namely that you're serving a great king. Where does he write that then... to the Creator specifically. Shamati 5. In any case, I need fuel. My matter, my material, needs fuel. But for what do I need fuel? Down to the last drop, only to bestow to him.
So is that... how's that different from the last one, item? It's like also the last one, he wants to do that. Or he wants the greatness of the Creator to delight himself.
He enjoys the fact that he's serving a great king. Because, look.
Because it returns to him?
Look. Four is, he learns in order for the Lord to give him reward in the next world. This is entirely in order to receive, right? So here in the fifth, he wants to receive the reward, which is that the king is great, meaning he's completely belonging to the king, affiliated with the king, but he is in it. He still exists to some extent. The I, the self, exists. What's written there?
I think in Shamati 5, and this is as it is written, then you shall delight the Lord, which means then, which is before his work begins, he didn't have that delight from the work, but his work was coercively. Whereas later, when he already accustomed himself to work in order to bestow and not to look at himself, whether he feels any flavor in the work, but rather believes that he is serving in order for his work to bring contentment to his maker. And a person needs to believe that the Creator receives the work of the lower ones, and it doesn't matter how much and what form their work is, the Lord looks at the intention on all of those things, and that's where the Creator has contentment from. Then a person merits to delight on the Lord. As also, while he's doing the service to the Creator, he will feel the good and delight, because now he is truly serving the Creator. For the efforts he has given forth in the work of coercion qualifies him to be able to serve the Creator truly, and then also the delight he receives is for the Creator, meaning to the Creator specifically.
Words are always weak. Yes.
So do you have reward in Lishma or not?
Of course there is reward. What reward? That nothing remains for me. Everything is for the Creator. And I don't want him to know about me. Meaning, I want to cause him pleasure without him knowing about me. And also that I won't know that I'm giving him pleasure. In any way, that there will be nothing that returns back to me. Well, let's continue. Oh, yes.
A question of a student from Israel: what does it mean, work?
Work? Work means efforts, consistent efforts by the person with the goal of achieving equivalence with the Creator, resemblance. As He is merciful, so I am merciful, and so on. Yes.
The only difference between the two things you told us about, or as I see it, is my intention, my observation, if I want to receive pleasure for myself, or I want to work towards the Lord and bring Him pleasure?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. What about the state of the final degree that brings him to Lishma? He says that he will fall in love with the Creator. What is it, an action, a deed?
Will fall in love, meaning he'll be willing to do everything for him without anything coming back to oneself.
Adhesion?
Yes, this is adhesion, of course. Right. Let's continue. We don't have Coleman today? No. Do you have any notes over there? If something's urgent, you can write it down. Olga. Yes. They can write notes. If someone wants to, go ahead. Yes.
Why he shouldn't know about me and without any return to me is called the reward. What's the reward here?
I didn't understand.
You said that the greatest reward would be if he doesn't know about me.
The greatest reward is for me to be in pure bestowal, meaning similar to the Creator, like the Creator, 100% in everything. How can we wrap it up in words, sentences? How to express this? So, I bestow to the Creator, and the Creator doesn't know about me. And I also don't know about my bestowal to Him. I just bestow with all my power. Meaning, it can be said that it's an indication that I'm truly bestowing in a pure manner. Because for me, the problem is, how do I disconnect from my will to receive when I bestow to Him? Because, of course, when I work with the will. So, the will mustn't ever be in order to receive. where nothing comes back to me. That's it. That's why this is how we speak. Yes, who's over there? Oh, Terence. Go ahead.
Rav, no complaints. But I have a question. You're my Rav.
Of course, of course.
What is it that a person needs to wait 20, 30, 40 years in order to love his friend? What's the heart here?
I'm not thinking about the outcome of the work. I think of how I can invest as much as possible every day in order to bring contentment to the Creator, through the friends, through all the people in the world, so that I could tell them that there is an upper force, and it's not necessary. How is it written? And you don't need to work. Do you remember that? And that's what we need to do.
Why is it a drop and a drop and a drop? What's, you know, the person can't to love his friend? What's so hard here?
What's so hard? It's hard because the love for the friend who you want to love so much, and you thought, what is that? Can't I treat them well? Of course I can. But because it has to do with the Creator to come to in order to bestow, then you can't. You can't. It's not because you can't love the friend. If it were... where it's just without any connection to spiritual work, of course, you would put the group together and you'd have some club or something like that. But the problem is it's all aimed towards spiritual work in order to bestow. And here the Creator isn't letting you even come close to it. And why? Because on the condition that you begin to come closer to each other, the condition is that you also come closer to Him. Meaning, if you come closer to the Creator, then you can also come closer to the friend. And not otherwise. Not otherwise. Why can't I embrace Him? Why do I feel that I'm pushing Him away a little bit? Because this is how you are with the Creator. You will be able to embrace the friend internally, meaning only on the condition that you're willing and able to do so with the Creator. And that's why it doesn't work for us. And we can measure ourselves in the group and see the extent to which we can truly be close. And this gives us a true measurement of how we are opposite the Creator.
And he said, but why is it going drop by drop by drop? Why?
Because you're weak. Because you are weak. You don't want to love the Creator. That's why you're not allowed to love the friends. That's how it is. Because you're an egoist, wicked, evil. That's how it is. At least know that. At the very least. It cannot be... Where is it written? There cannot be... The love of friends cannot be greater than the love of the Creator. And vice versa. It cannot be. If we work correctly. Right?
No,
you have something there? From the notes.
A question from Petach Tikva. Is there a connection between the Zohar excerpt we read and the Rabash we just read?
No connection.
An additional question. Why, as we read the text, it's so hard to concentrate and think of the friends to be in the intentions? The thoughts are running in all directions.
same reason we just discussed, because we're not aimed properly towards the Creator, and therefore we cannot think of the friends either. The friends, you know, they're next to me. I think that I'm close to them because I'm with them all the time. Again, I repeat, it cannot be. Only to the extent that I aim towards the Creator, can I also aim myself towards the Ten. That's it. That's why when we look at how people outside of here connect, it's so great. And we can't. We are unable. It's not simple. Well, let's continue.
We're going to continue in the paragraph that starts with "After all this." After all this begins the order of Lishma, called desire to bestow. And here, a person cannot bring himself to work entirely in order to bestow, meaning to want to only bestow upon the Creator, because He is great and ruling. Man has no idea how to achieve this. This is regarded as the desire to bestow being in exile in Egypt. A person can understand this desire only above reason, since within reason there is no grip on understanding this. In other words, a person cannot understand how it is possible to do something from which one does not enjoy. It follows that even if a person does not require any reward for his work, what compels him to work is that the Creator will enjoy. From this he derives his pleasure. Hence, there is already a matter of pleasure here, meaning that he enjoys serving the king is his pleasure. But how could it be otherwise that he will work without pleasure? Therefore, when it is said that man must work in order to bestow, this is called above reason. Anything that is above reason, the will to receive for oneself is absent there. In other words, a person is told that he must work only so the Creator will enjoy this work. At that time, it is said that the person should be happy that he is serving a great king. However, if the great king were to reveal his greatness and importance, the pleasure would be within reason. That is, the mind understands that in order to serve a great, it's worthwhile to serve a great king, but when a person must have faith in the greatness and importance of the king, he feels that he is serving a small king, according to his feelings. Therefore, when he says, above reason, that he is a great king, there is no room for the will to receive to agree to this work, since all the pleasure is built on above reason. Thus it is clear why the body does not want to work when it does not see the importance of the king. Rather, it is told, although the mind necessitates, if the greatness of the king is not revealed, there is no room there for the will to receive for himself. Thus, how can one work because he is great and ruling? This would be good if it were revealed, but Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice," governs this discernment of the greatness of the Creator. This is why the work is mainly in the place, meaning in this place, meaning that here begins the matter of Lishma, meaning that he wants to work to the Creator, so the Creator will enjoy his work. And it does not matter to him what taste he feels. In other words, the work he does is to him as though he felt that the king is great, while in fact he feels that the divinity is in dust. That is, he does not feel any importance, but tastes the taste of dust. And yet he overcomes and says, "It is important to me, as though I felt that I was serving a great king." At that time, the will to receive certainly enjoys as well. since he does not need to believe in the greatness and importance of the king. However, how can one muster the strength to overcome the body when he feels that the divinity is in dust? What joy can he receive from this work? Even more perplexing, how can one need and want to work when he feels no taste in it? This would be understandable if he had no choice. We can understand when a person is forced to work, but how is it possible to want such a work which feels tasteless?
Meaning, if we felt suffering and we knew that we will be ridding ourselves of that suffering, we'll be able to work. Let's say I'm hungry, so I'm told, you work for half a day and you get a kilo of bread. So there's something to work for. There's compensation. Or either you get rid of some pains, or either you climb out of the minus, or you even get to the plus. But if you don't have in plus or minus any sensation of that in the will to receive, what work can it be?
But since he has no force to overcome, and how can he serve the king in such a lowly state? Meaning where he feels the taste of dust while serving the king. Hence, in this regard, he does not ask the Creator to give him the revelation of his greatness, so he will feel a good taste in it. Rather, he asks the Creator to give him strength to be able to overcome the body and work gladly, because now he can work only for the Creator. Since the will to receive does not enjoy work that tastes like dust. Therefore, why is he working? Certainly only for the sake of the Creator. There's no room for such work within reason, and in this work, a person sees that it is inherently impossible that he will want to work in such a manner. In this work, in such a state, a person sees that there is no way that he will be able to work with the desire to bestow and not for his own sake.
His engine isn't compatible with that fuel. It's like if you pour water into a car's gas tank, it won't work. So what do?
Such a thing can happen only through a miracle from above. And indeed, this is called the Exodus from Egypt, meaning to emerge from the mind he has by nature, where it is possible to move unless he enjoys it. Conversely, here he is asking the Creator to give him the strength to work where he has no feeling or flavor, but to believe that the Creator enjoys this work, since it is all in order to bestow. For this reason, the prayer is an honest prayer, since a person sees that he cannot hope to ever be able to do anything in order to bestow. It follows that a person feels that he is lost. At that time, he has close contact with the Creator. And this is something that a person should appreciate, that he is asking the Creator to help him, and there is no one in the world who can save him.
Meaning, when does he have close contact with the Creator? When he has nothing, and he can't have nothing, and he can't work, not in the plus nor the minus, no way. Then he feels the extent to which he is simply removed, separated from any spiritual action. Either I'm given a way to flee the bad, or some attraction towards the good, then I'll be able to make a move, carry out some act. But if I don't have any of them, I can't do anything, meaning he gets to the true state of true self-awareness. And in that, he begins to feel his connection with the Creator who arranged for him this place and this sensation. What?
But it started from him falling in love with the Creator to the point where he can't sleep. Is that where it started?
That also happens sometimes.
And then he wants to bestow to him, meaning to reach that real bestow that he's not connected to himself.
It may be that he wants to bestow, but he hasn't the fuel.
And he asks the Creator to give him the strength?
Yes.
And what does the Creator really want? What kind of bestowal does he want from him? What is to bestow to the Creator?
To resemble, for a man to resemble him, to be Adam. Adam from the word dome, or similar.
And that can only be when a person goes out of himself, where he's completely not connected to his will to receive.
He doesn't exit the will to receive, rather there's a miracle here, where the Creator gives the power of Bina to him, and then a person begins to work with the spiritual fuel. Of this it is written, taste and see that the Lord is good. It cannot be explained. Yes.
From everything I learned from you, my teacher, that the prayer, when I do a certain prayer for a friend, here the prayer is direct to me. It's like I'm asking for myself, for the Creator to save me, to give me the strength.
Are you asking or are you making a speech?
Yeah, I'm asking if it's correct that a prayer for myself is correct here in this case. Everything I learned so far is that I'm praying for the friend, that I pray for a friend.
You can also pray for yourself.
Thank you.
All right. Well, continue.
We're continuing. Yet here comes the most difficult question. Who told a person that the Creator derives contentment from his work, which tastes like dust, and that this is the work that one should ask of the Creator because he wants to do everything only so that the Creator will enjoy? The answer to this is faith in the sages. We must believe their words. It follows that this prayer that a person prays, that the Creator will help him so he can work in a taste, in a state of lowliness, and the taste is only the taste of dust, this can be only on the basis of faith in the sages, to believe them that only in this way can we achieve a state of Lishma, and not for our own benefit. In other words, only they know what is Lishma and how to achieve it. According to the above, we can interpret what we asked about what our sages said about the verse. It's not because you are more in number. The Creator said to Israel, I desire you, for even when I bestow upon you greatness, you diminish yourselves before me. We asked, is it customary that one whom the king extols pride himself before the king? Thus, why do they tell us that Israel diminish themselves before the Creator? We explained above that there are two discernments in the work. One, when the Creator shines for him while he engages in Torah and Mitzvot and feels a good taste in the work, and feels the greatness of the Creator, that he is serving a great king, and has already achieved the degree of when I remember him, it does not let me sleep. And two, which is the work in Lishma, meaning to bestow and not in order to receive reward. At that time, a person's body resists because he does not feel any flavor in the work. However, he does not want any feeling of the greatness of the Creator, because then this feeling gives him a reason that because of this feeling that he feels when engaging in Torah and Mitzvot, it compels him to engage in Torah and Mitzvot. It follows that it is no longer only for the sake of the Creator, but his own pleasure is included in it too. And since this work is entirely above reason, since there is no intellect in the world that can understand such a thing, and this discernment is called divinity in dust. And a person must believe that specifically from this work, the Creator derives contentment. This is called work in the manner of you diminish yourselves before me. Meaning, when the Creator lets them feel the greatness of the Creator, they do not say, now we do not need to work above reason. Since the body too, when it feels the greatness of the Creator, annuls as a candle before a torch. Instead, they say, we want to work in the manner for you are the least of all the people. Meaning that all the people in a person say that this work is contemptible, inferior, and lowly. Meaning that it is Shechinta in Afra, the divinity in dust. As our sages said, it is not because you are more in number, said the Creator to Israel, that I desire you, for even when I bestow upon you greatness, you diminish yourselves before me. I gave greatness to Abraham. Certainly at that time he should be happy, because he already feels the greatness of the Creator, and he will no longer have resistance from the body. But he would diminish himself and says, and I am dust and ashes. In other words, he said to the Creator, I yearn for the state of the work that was a manner of I am the Lord your God in the manner of dust and ashes. Meaning to the time when the work was to him divinity and dust. At that time he was certain that his work was entirely to bestow, that the will to receive has no part in this. It follows that this does not mean that he diminishes himself before the Creator, meaning that he does not pride himself before the Creator. Rather, it means that he is diminishing himself in order to work in a state of lowliness, although the Creator is giving him greatness. Likewise, the Creator gave greatness to Moses and Aaron, and they said, what about us? In other words, they yearned for work, for a time when the divinity was in dust for them. At that time, when they don't feel the flavor in the work, the wicked comes and asks, what question? Meaning, what is this work for you? That you want to work specifically in this contemptible work. And the wicked asks, what is this work for you? Because then they were certain that their work was completely to bestow, and the will to receive has no part in it. It is the same with David. The Creator gave him greatness, and he said, and I, meaning I am the Lord your God, this work was to him when he wanted to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, called I am the Lord your God. To his body was in the manner of I am a worm and not a man. The Ibn Ezra asks about the words and I am a worm and not a man, and he says it is unlikely that one will say about himself that he is not a man, he only speaks against the enemies, that they despise him and he is not regarded as anything in their eyes. Here too the meaning is that when the Creator gave him greatness, he did not say, now I no longer need to wage war against the body, since the body will annul before the Creator as a candle before a torch. Instead, he said, I yearn for a state of lowliness, so that my enemies, meaning the nations of the world within me, will despise my work, since they said to work only in order to bestow, and he will have no feeling in the work. This is a sign that he is not a man at all. When they despise the order of his work, this is regarded as Israel diminishing themselves before me.
Right, that last page is a bit difficult.
The last page is a little difficult because it deals with the last stage of Lishma. But, well, as much as we understand. Yes.
It speaks of, let's say, a problem. But I see in my efforts that there is none else besides him, that it's him doing it. This uplifts me. This gives me high spirits. I can laugh in the face of it. It sustains me. But here we're talking about how you have to lower yourself in front of the Creator and not to receive anything from it.
I don't feel like I'm humiliating myself, lowering myself. It's not me. The me, that point that I'm working with, is a point that rises more and more. It's prideful, seemingly. It's written, and his heart would be heightened in the ways of the Lord. But all the means that the Creator created for me, in order for me to reach adhesion by, they're the ones I have to use in such a way that my intention will be as pure as possible. So it turns out that I don't want to work because things are bad for me, nor because things are good for me, and not because the greatness of the Creator compels me, even though here we need to scrutinize what is the matter here. But rather, I want my work, let's say in our words, as disconnected as possible from our words. That's it. How do I check this? This is what it's talking about. So, eventually, we need to realize that with our forces, we're not capable of disconnecting from the will to receive. And then the Creator, who brings us the force of restriction and bestowal, or the light of Binah, saves us by this. This is called the Exodus from Egypt. To do a restriction and begin to receive the force of bestowal of Binah. And then in such a way I can work in order to bestow. Yes.
Where in that state, in that situation, is there guidance towards Lishma, or direction towards Lishma? Is it in the request?
It's by prayer, by request, by the discovery of the lack for Lishma, which a person each time scrutinizes. Where a person reveals each time where he is in the will to receive. And if a person against that asks, as he wants to rise above the will to receive each time, to be purer, cleaner than that, that's called to be in faith above reason, and the Creator helps him, and that's how he rises and rises and rises. You can see there are five aspects of the Lo Lishma until the last one, the fifth one, begins to bring him to Lishma. And also there are, you can add a few more here too. There are degrees. Yes.
So there are a few questions here about you. What you said, meaning that the Creator doesn't, I don't want the Creator to know that I'm bestowing to him.
Well, of course, because if I know that he knows about me, that's reward already. That's called to give in concealment, in hiding. Where I give and the Creator doesn't know it, and I also don't know that I'm giving.
Right, so there is a question about it. How can there be such a situation in which the Creator doesn't know that the person is bestowing to him?
That's hard to explain. In spirituality, it's possible. Also in corporeality. I don't know. In corporeality, we barely have such a thing. Let's say a person contributes gives an organ of his body. He's a donor, and he doesn't know who he's giving to it, and doesn't receive anything from the fact that he gave it either, even though he has a certain reward from it, a feeling. that I did it. So in spirituality, it's only through the light of Bina that we can feel how much we rise above the will to receive. It's impossible. Without the light of Chasadim, without the light of Bina, we can't reach a state in which we are pure from giving. But really, Lishma is where I have no connection with what I'm doing. Yes.
Into what vessels does the feeling of bestowal come? How do we actually discover the greatness of the Creator? With what vessels?
We reveal the greatness of the Creator according to how much we build for Him a net of connection between us, whereupon our will to receive is revealed, also our mutual desire to bestow. And then in the gap between those two, the net of reception and net of bestowal, we reveal the Creator. It's impossible to reveal Him without those two forces, the force of reception and the force of bestowal. And all kinds of relations between them bring us all the color of the attainment of the Creator. Yes?
A question from Russia. How can a person truly examine his intention and see if, or rather, how can he examine his intention if his ego, his will to receive, hides the intention?
Again?
How can a person examine, see if he's truly disconnecting from his ego, from his intention in order to receive, if the ego hides his true intention from him?
Our ego is a help against him. It's truly the loyal angel in the hands of the Creator. This is why where we see that he's bothering us, it's not a disturbance. It's him showing us where we are still not in perfection in our work. Hence, whoever is already in the stages of the work relates to his egoistic desire in a very, how can I say this? In great, with respect, with good attitude towards it. It's like, I'll tell you, it's like in our world. The great people, let's say there's someone who's like a general in there, a commander in the military on one side, and a commander in the military on the other side. So it's not that they disregard each other. Each respects the other, even though they're enemies. He understands what kind of work he's doing and how learned he is, important he is, etc. There's a certain degree of respect, of honor, even though they're enemies. But there's a certain mutual, respectful relation. And that's why we change our attitude towards our ego. When we begin to progress towards Lishma, we start to see, even though you could say, I hate it, I want to lose it completely. No, nevertheless, you respect it because it brings you, gives you the opposite discernments, without which you would not identify the Creator and His ways of behavior towards you. The evil inclination helps us in our whole process more than the good inclination. The evil inclination we receive from above after we, the good inclination is we receive from above after we obligate the Creator to do, to change, etc. But the evil inclination helps, it helps. It is the one that's working hard. Later, in the end, we discover that the two of them come unto peace, the angels of peace. They're the ones who lead to the end of correction, the good inclination and the evil inclination. Yes.
In the article, it's written that they receive pleasure because they serve a great king. So the question is, what does it mean to wish to bestow contentment to the Creator? How should this come into expression?
As I get to know His greatness, His uniqueness in all of reality. That's it.
There are a few general questions, if possible.
Yeah, ask.
I'm in a 10 with a relative. Is this proper, good for my spiritual advancement?
Not so much so. But if there's no choice, we do it. Also, Rabbi Shimon had his son inside the 10. It's preferable to not, but... Yes?
There's a suggestion here. Is it possible to learn from Psalms, from Tehillim, how David saw the greatness of the Creator? Can you learn it from Psalms?
Psalms is a good thing. It's worthwhile to read it and to hold it and be close to it to maintain them always close besides me. But to learn from there the work of the Creator, it's for sure not. There are very beautiful verses there, very understood verses that are close to us, but there are those that Rabash himself would have difficulty to translate. There were such words where he himself said, I don't know what that word is. Meaning it doesn't have to do with attainment that he would attain the text, but the words there, the verbs, the text itself are such that we don't quite know today what their true meaning is yet.
Sometimes I listen to the Rav, I understand him, and sometimes I can't hear him. What can I do in those times where I'm not hearing Rav?
That depends on the state of a person. And there's nothing you can do about it. Try to hear maybe that same lesson in a different state. Yes.
And the last question for the time being. What is the effort we need to make right now in the last moments of the holiday? How should we use every remaining moment in order to give contentment to the Creator?
Tomorrow we have a night lesson. That's already the opening of the Red Sea, the parting towards that. What should we do? As much as possible, incorporate with the topic of the holiday and understand that this is the main thing that we need to attain. How to rise above our ego to connection. This is actually the whole essence of the holiday. And after 50 days, we already come to the next holiday, to Shavuot, the giving of the Torah. Yes.
A question from Elad, from Afula. Question is, how to turn from a commando group working with corporeal fuel to a group where the greatness of the Creator is the only fuel?
By making such a decision between you that you need this. Okay? Let's wait. Yes, more. That's it. Well, ask. Ginger.
Thanks to the fact that the friends adhere to all of your advices very much, it becomes very clear that in this holiday, our friends have passed, they've entered into the system of bestowal. So what is the most practical and proper way to compensate, to reward those friends?
What we should compensate them with? by doing everything for them to reach the revelation of the Creator in order to bring him contentment by that. That's it. Be a good matchmaker between them and the Creator. Okay. Yes.
Amir from Israel is asking, on one hand it is said to work in a manner which is compelled, and on the other it's said that you need to go from victory to victory.
It's not a contradiction in the coercion upon our egoistic corporeal until it says I want, and in rising towards the desire to bestow as a free people, both this and that. Okay? Yes.
Rav, about entering into Lishma, he says that only faith in the sages will help one. So I wanted to ask about it. Can you explain the concept of faith in the sages? How is it different than the general concept of faith we learn of?
The faith of the sages, we don't yet have the force of faith or the force of bestowal of Binah Hazadim. So we use the faith in the sages. We believe what they wrote, and we follow what they wrote as much as we understand it. In order to attain the reforming light, the light of Hasadim, which brings the faith into the heart of man, and then we will advance from there that way onwards. That's it. Yes?
How can we move correctly with the faith?
Only through the work between us in general prayer. There's no more than that. Okay? All right. What? We'll read it.
Right, it's from Shamati. It's called the matter of the two angels which accompany a man on the eve of Saturday, a good angel and a bad angel. The good angel is called the right, by which he comes closer to the service of the Lord, and this is called the right brings closer. And the wicked angel, the evil angel, is the left, which distances him, meaning bringing him foreign thoughts in mind and heart. And when one overcomes the evil and brings himself closer to the Lord, meaning that each time he advances and overcomes the evil and adheres to the Creator, it follows that thanks to the two of them, he has come closer to adhesion with the Lord, meaning that they both did they both had the same role to bring him closer to adhesion with the Creator. Then one says, you come in peace. And when one has completed his work, meaning when he admitted all of the left into Kedusha, holiness, as it is written, there is no place in which to hide from you, then the evil angel has nothing more to do, because the person has already overcome all of the hardships which the evil brought about. And then the evil angel is out of work. And then the person says to them, you go in peace.
That's it. As far as I'm concerned, we're done. If there are no more questions, yes?
A question from Peter. When a person switches over to spiritual fuel, is there the taste of ashes in his will to receive?
It's a matter of degrees. When we advance, nevertheless, on both feet and the middle line, therefore there is certainly the taste of dust, the taste of the greatness of the Creator, all those states, of course. Specifically in Lishma, that's where the serious work begins, with contradictions, such contrasts between right and left. That's where the true tamim are, the tanta and discernments. Yes.
And it becomes harder every time to be impressed by the group, to take energy from the group and the friends.
Well, so what?
I feel that the Creator is really toying with me, taking away all of my energy. So how can I receive power from the greatness of the Creator? From whom and how?
Only inside the group. The group is that source, the fountain from which you can drink, to receive forces. Only in the middle of the group, that's where that fountain is sprouting. Yes.
How do you differentiate between egoistic work for the sake of connection and the true work, which is in order to bestow? How do I know that I'm working towards connection through bestowal?
According to the extent in which I'm disconnected from the result, the I. How much I'm disconnected from the end result. I'm very concerned with there being a result, by the Creator being delighted by this. And for the time being, I'm doing everything for Him to be delighted, and for me to know that He's delighted, and for Him to know that I about me that I've done it. But with that, I begin to feel that I really don't want to know about that. I don't want Him to even know about it. With that, if I can get some kind of sign that I am really bestowing to Him, but that sign will not be accepted in me and my vessels of reception, I'm willing. So I care to have such vessels of bestowal where I will receive a feeling that I'm giving to the Creator, a feeling that He knows about me, a feeling that I'm giving Him, but that will all be in vessels of bestowal. Meaning, I won't start to get prideful by this and to enjoy on my own, but rather I will understand it, I will feel it, and it won't bother me. Maybe from here you'll be able to make it more tangible what it means, vessels of bestowal. You can know, you can feel, but it won't bring you pride and self-importance. No. Because it will all be received in the light of Chasadim. Try to feel that a little.
How to overcome the externality in order to feel that all the friends are a part of my soul?
Again?
How to overcome the externalities in order to feel that the friends are all parts of my soul?
That's work. There's nothing you can do about it. That's together, 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 all the time. We all talk this way until the reforming light comes and connects between us such that it's impossible to discover something that is spiritual unless it's in the center of connection between us.
No? If a person has nothing to bestow, what is the most proper prayer?
For him to have what to bestow to the Creator. All my exertion is for me rising above my ego. That's because I want to bring contentment to the Creator. Yes?
Last question. We speak a lot about feeling the friend's desires. What are the friend's desires? How to feel that? How is that desire connected to the Creator's desire?
They're connected together. They're connected together. Okay?
מכל העמים אהבת אותנו ורצית בנו גם אותנו מכל השונות אהבת אותנו ורצית בנו גם אותנו מכל השונות וקידשנו במצוותיך ובמצוותיך וקרבתנו שמחה גדול גדול והקדוש עלינו קראת ושמחה גדול גדול והקדוש